Stop being so distractive.
I got the social people that are sitting next to each other.
Well, then you need another road back.
Just get back a road.
Seriously. You're all right. How are you, man? How was Best Valley City?
Still the best.
Okay. And the west side of the valley, right? Okay. All right. Notice that we've got the name tents up. That's just so that everybody knows everybody as well as so that when we recognize for voting purposes that it's members of the board to vote. We've had some confusion in the past, and so we thought we'd clarify it this way. Let's go ahead and go around, even though we do have the 10 cards, those of us whose vision might not be able to see how far, let's go ahead and introduce ourselves. Why don't you start here on the left, Mr. Church?
Bob Church, UPC.
Ron Waite from UPC.
Ryan Robinson, West Valley City.
Good to have you here.
Paul Boyd, DA's office in Swamp.
Good to have you.
Robert Coaston, not the St. George City Attorney, but working that office.
We won't tell Sean what the card says.
No, all right. Nothing will happen to me.
Will, you want to say who you are?
I'm Will Carlson with the Sutherland County District Attorney's Office.
Thank you.
Swamp.
All right. Barry, what are you?
Barry Huntington, Garfield County Attorney.
Jeff Buman, Utah County Attorney.
Cynthia Sully County DA's Office.
Scott Sweat, Wasatch County.
Greg Fairbush, Utah County Attorney's Office.
Tyson Skeen, UPC.
Haley Christensen, Utah County Attorney. Marilyn Jasperson, Utah Prosecution Counsel.
Steve Garcia with Layton City, and our guests. All right, with that, let's just jump right into it. We've got the under tab A, we have the approval of minutes from our January 20th meeting. If anybody has had a chance to review those and see if there's any corrections, additions, or accept it as they are. Or defer to the next meeting if someone wants to do that. All right, accept the fact that Greg is covering for the AG's office.
Well, that's right.
It's point of order on that one.
I'll make a motion to approve.
All right, motion by Mr. Huntington to approve the minutes from January 20th. Is there a second on that?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think I'm in the best position to second that. So.
Okay. All right.
We have something else.
I'll second it.
All right, seconded by Mr. Sweat. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Minutes are adopted. All right. As per the council's request, we've invited Mr. Berkovich here today. So, Mr. Berkovich, if you want to step up and provide us with the information you'd like the council to hear.
Paul has a question.
Is this supposed to be executive?
No. Sorry.
Steve, did you get the memo that I sent out last night?
Yep, I got it right here. Uh-huh.
So essentially what I have to say is that I think there's evidence to suggest that I was working in an environment at UPC where my supervisor Bob and Marilyn would it's possible that they would collude in an act of dishonesty. Steve, I've got your opinion. And I've outlined that set of facts as I'm guessing you read. Is that, did people read that? Okay. And you have no idea how that affects somebody's work environment. It requires you to indulge BS basically on a daily basis. And anybody looking at that set of facts about the Chicago swag thing, emails on that, my description of Bob's looking at me and telling me differently. It's a very difficult thing to be involved in. And before moving on, basic psychology suggests that if somebody is dishonest with another person, they're going to resent them because that person will reflect back the dishonesty that they engaged in. And so that was sort of the tone and tenor of things, at least after July of 2015. Then we get to this, the missing information from the CLE evaluations. And I will say that that is a very, to me, it seemed too suspicious, that the very feedback that I provided that was mirrored in one of, I think it was Sims Deputy's CLE evaluation, went missing from the CLE summary in Moab. And, I mean, the people who were there know that I was inappropriate there. I mean, I get to live with that, but I'm not gonna, you know, be ashamed of it either for the rest of my life. And so when I called attention to that, Marilyn attributed that to Ron, which was untrue. I only learned that later when I asked Ron about it. And as you probably read, he had never prepared the evaluation summary until that time. And then I asked our law clerk about it, and he's the one that did it. And he said he didn't get those specific comments that reflected on Marilyn's work product, and were left off the comment sheet. So I was suspicious. And as I mentioned recently at the State Records Committee, in the United States, we're free to be suspicious. You can ask questions, but I didn't feel like I could do that at UBC because of what happened at Chicago. And so that was the work environment. I'll give you credit. If you tell me you've read the memo, I'll take your word for that. Then comes the events in Moab, and I really, it's not even I think. I mean, Bob clearly misled me to think that I would have the opportunity to defend myself. That's in the chronology, in the memo that I made. And I just still can't believe that a body would mean and not at least hear what I had to say about the work environment. This is especially so, Stephen, I'm representing what Steve Schweiner has said via text to me, that you said that part of the whole decision to make a motion to sever or to vote to sever was that the overall work environment, that there's time for change or something like that, which indicates to me that that there was more to the vote to sever than simply to simply what happened in Moab, in which case I should have had a say. It's my perspective. It's not just my perspective. As I mentioned, people are really astonished to learn that a whole process would be conducted to terminate somebody without ever once asking the person what was up. I mean, it just went silent, and that's the way it went. And for that, I mean, it's more yours to live with than mine. There's something else. Well, up to that point, do you have any questions? I assume you don't want to talk about it, but I
think that the council was just anticipating having a presentation from you on this, and that was why the invitation was extended.
So I really, you know, I mean, I have no idea what went on in the closed door session. I have no idea whether Marilyn was consulted about by anybody, but I certainly was not. I had no input. And I really think that, I mean, I've called into question those minutes. I mean, the irregularities, non-factual statement by Bob that's recorded in those minutes. He admitted that at the State Records Committee recently. And for me, it's hard to believe. There's just a lot of mistakes and a lot of statements that made me think I'd have a chance to defend myself. The misstatements in the closed session, or actually the open session of the October 21st meeting, where I think the process was flawed. And if it is true that there were times when I would be colluded toward with dishonesty by a supervisor and subordinate, I think Bob was compromised. And he's the one who controlled the information flow to all of you, or most of you who were in the meeting. And that's essentially my take. I just have a sense in my mind that I'm leaving things out. I mean,
That you're leaving what?
I'm leaving things out because I'm not pulling out my notes. But it's sort of like all in the memo. And, you know, we get to the, and then this, you have no idea, like now it seems idiotic, but you have no idea what it.
Did you want, I have a copy of your note that you sent, would that help you?
I have it here.
Okay.
So, you know, then we get to this situation where I would have to get approval for presentations, you know, however many states away in Kansas City, which is a completely unworkable thing. And then when I asked Bob about that, he says, well, when I asked him, do I have to keep doing that? He says, that was just my way of my alpha male dominance or something like that. It's just unhealthy. And so those are some of the issues. Then we get to the, so I did feel there was definitely probably not a healthy work environment. While I think that I will give Bob credit for getting out of the way, at least, I didn't always have that during my tenure at UPC. He at least let me do stuff, and that was, the results were as shown, right? And, but then we get to the summer appointment by UMA of my designation, and before I even suggested that Bob made a unilateral or maybe two people decision, I grandma requested the UPC minutes and votes to see whether you all voted on the UMA designation for me to be on this board. And it's silent. I mean, the state records lawyer says no, nobody voted. Or he says there's no responsive records, let me be accurate. And there are no waivers, which means that it indicates to me that Bob might have picked up the phone and maybe consulted with one of you and said he can't be on it, which he can't do unilaterally, it's an unauthorized act. And he couldn't do, and even if you had voted on it, it would not have been statutorily valid. Because once the designation is made, it is made. It's not voted on by the council. It might be approved, but you don't have the power to accept it or reject it. I've read the statute. So, UMA was caught flat-footed. I mean, they're not, some of them are not thrilled about what happened. And they didn't know that they had the statutory authority to say that this is our designation and we're keeping it. And so I just don't think a director should be going around making unauthorized acts that are not supported by a vote. I can't imagine a reasonable person thinking differently. So those are some of the high points. I'll give you credit for reading the memorandum and I'll take any questions if there's anything on the memorandum. I've only put things in the memorandum where there's at least some basis record fact to, you know, draw inferences or make a suggestion or say something is possible. I've been very careful about that. You know, I'd come out of rooms and they'd stop talking and this kind of thing, and that's fine. Maybe they're talking about something personal, but it was an odd environment. I don't think that you're fully informed when you voted, and some of the statements are just flat false. They're not even open to, like, the written type of statements are just flat false. They're not even open to interpretation or nuance or anything like that. So, I mean, I'm just keeping it to the scope of what you invited me here to talk about. I mean, probably had the realization that there may or may not have been an open meetings violation recently, open meetings act violation recently, and there's some other things, but that's not, you didn't invite me here to talk about that. I'm not going to upstate my welcome.
Okay. Well, as you know, this was free to present those, and I don't know if anybody on the council has any questions for you. I know that not everybody has probably had the opportunity to read that. But then, so they, you know, whether any action is taken on that, I think that that would be for another meeting because they haven't had a chance to digest that. But as far as asking you any questions, I don't know if anybody on the council has any questions for Ed.
Well, I have a just a general question. The first part of the thing, as far as your relationship with UPC originally, the position that you were in, that was in nature of in relationship to a grant, right?
It was funded by a grant, yes.
And the terms of employment of that grant are either the grant or is that that's not a merit position, is it?
No, it's an at-will employee.
Okay, it's an at-will employee, okay.
And so I understand there's no grievance procedure. I mean, when you're at will, you're at will.
Right, right. And so I did get this last evening. I think I'm trying to remember. I think it's what time it came in, and I did sort of scan through it last night. Does this cover, Ed, from your perspective, the things that you do want the council and everybody to be aware of? Do you feel like this memo covers the things that you wanted to communicate to the council?
Yes, regarding what Steve invited me here to talk about. I was very careful, there's some other fairly obvious things, but you didn't invite me here to talk about those, and I'm not going to in this forum. If you want to invite me back, but this will get pretty old in terms of drama.
But within the context of, I guess, you just wanted him to have an opportunity to come and communicate his concerns from the termination, right? From that action of
and the UMA issue.
The UMA issue, right? Mm-hmm. So let me just ask, within the context of those, because I don't know what the other issues are, so forgive me. But within the context of those issues, do you feel comfortable that you've communicated that? Because I want to make sure that you
have my say.
Yeah, have your say.
Yeah.
Does this memo cover the issue with the severance and employment and the UMA issues for you?
There's just one thing I'd like to ask.
Okay.
Glad Greg is here. Greg, do you remember, did you ever tell Bob that I was out in the state too much working, that you recall?
At this point, I'm not going to answer any questions.
Okay.
I think this is, the forum for this was for you to present.
Got it.
Not to begin deposition or making any.
You guys are not suing anybody.
No, I know, but I just.
Okay, understood. I'm not. The only reason I bring that up is this is one of these things where I actually felt a little bit torpedoed. I mean, I'm in the office and Bob says, you're gone a lot and Greg might take it away from us. And it's like, this is what these resource prosecutors is, you know, like they're in the office more than a few days a week. They're not resource prosecutors. So I think, I could actually leave it at the memo. I mean, if you...
Because I want to make sure that there's... Because, you know, you write a memo and then you send it and then you may think about it. And I want to make sure that for the purpose of this meeting, that everything that you need to share, because as Steve said, that if there's any discussion or anything, this is something other people may have not fully looked at or glanced over, and people will read it. And then if there's a discussion, I want to make sure that if there's anything to be added or supplemented into that might have been left out, I want to make sure that's brought out now.
I can't, if I think of something, I'll send it in, but I can't. I think it's as comprehensive to the specifics of Steve's invitation as possible.
Okay. Good.
Now, regarding any, it hasn't happened here yet, but, you know, any of the sort of how dare you, you know, hands on hips, how dare you suggest this, how dare you suggest that, I mean, you know what was said about me, I have no idea what was said about me, and I think I've given you reason to believe that maybe, given, at least one for sure inaccurate statement, some other written untrue statements, that there's reason to doubt the quality of the information that you had in the emergency council meeting, specifically because Bob controlled the flow of the information to the emergency council meeting. And if I can just point to something pretty darn easily, this is just untrue. You know, this was the thing about the scheduled trainings. It's hard to believe that that's an unconscious mistake, given how big a deal the Denver thing was, and how big a deal the. Do I need to elaborate on that? Like, Steve, you know that it's established now that there were subsequent trainings scheduled. Is that, if you can answer a question, are you aware? Are you satisfied, based on a separate email, that I had training scheduled subsequent to when I was terminated?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So it's just hard for me to believe that that's just a mistake. I mean, especially something as important as somebody's job and life. I mean, it seems like you just fine-tuned on everything. I just had no trainings.
And I pursued that, and I received what I considered to be a satisfactory response to that, and
that's that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was that things could be, not that there was nothing scheduled, but there wasn't anything that was scheduled that couldn't be rescheduled or taken care of in another way.
That's the explanation you got?
Yes.
It's clear those trainings were canceled. That's not this debate.
I understand. Does any other member of the council have any questions or follow-up, Mr. Berkovich? If not, then my proposal to the council was, like everybody hasn't had the opportunity to go through that when you can, and if someone at that time feels that it needs to be brought up again on our next agenda or in an earlier meeting, whether it be open or in an executive session, obviously we would entertain that and be willing to do that. And if
Steve, do you have my UMA memorandum, my UMA email? The whole thing about the 83 minutes, are you aware of that?
I don't have it with me. I know that I've read it.
Okay, so you understand the 83 minute reference?
To the
I'm designated 83 minutes.
Oh.
Designated. Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. So those would have to say, I mean, I can tell you this, I mean, I don't bear ill will toward anybody, including Bob and Marilyn at this point, now that I've had my say. You can do what you want, including nothing. I have a feeling that's the way it will go, and that's perfectly. Just to have had my say, which I appreciate the invitation, I can, but I'm not going to pretend that I don't have, that I wasn't suspicious and that I didn't think I was being, have non-factual statements made to me, collusion and those kind of things. The underlying subject of those things, nobody cares about transportation of sweaters to Chicago. Nobody cares really in the long run about agendas and memoranda and missing CLE comments. But it's the culture of whether that was a completely candid work environment and who was responsible for that and who sort of took some heat for calling attention to that, if you understand what I'm saying. So I can say that. I appreciate my say. I mean, God bless all, right? But I really think it needed to be said. And if there's nothing to hide, nobody has a problem.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, on to the next thing. Did you want to discuss the grandma request by Mr. Berkovich?
Just simply to say that in the packets that were emailed out, you got the entire contents of those requests. The summary of the history of that is contained in my notes. I do have a couple printed hard copies that are here. I didn't want to reprint them for everyone. The AG's office, Lonnie Pearson, who handles the grammar requests, has been very helpful in dealing with those. So unless you have specific questions about that, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time in here between the summary and the actual exhibits. It's pretty clear the status of those requests.
Anybody have any questions on those grammar requests? All right.
Okay, spring conference starts tomorrow. As you all know, it's up in Logan, the Riverwoods Conference Center. Oh, by the way, if somebody didn't get a copy of the agenda, it's over here on the table. So we think we are as ready as we possibly can be. We are excited. We are having, other than Paul, it's going to be all new presenters. So we've got Paul and Will doing the criminal statutes. Looking forward to that. Is this really going to be your last one, Paul?
Yep.
He said at least hesitantly.
Yeah.
There's hope.
That was a dramatic pause.
That was a dramatic pause.
Hard to hear that.
And the Oscar goes to.
Right. So Paul and then Darcy Goddard will be doing the civil because Mr. Garside had previous commitments when we changed the dates, when that decision was made to change the dates last fall at the county executive. So we hope that Steve has a good time with his kids.
Which most people will probably appreciate that from somebody else.
I just want to thank, I know not everybody's here and their names are on the summaries, everybody that helped with the summaries. That's a huge task. I have new appreciation for Mark because I ended up putting the summaries together and I was trying to do it in Word. And I couldn't make it work, so I had to convert it to WordPerfect, and that proved to be, anyway. So it's a huge task. I appreciate everybody that helped out. The big thing presenters, is we've got John Nielsen from the AG's office and Peter Levitt from the DA's office doing our case law summary. So like we said, it's all new people. So we're looking forward to it. I think you know, they're going to do a great job. So those are the changes in terms of presenters. The other big thing that Ron and I are stressing about is the remote broadcast. We're using the WebEx system that the DA's office has been using for during the legislative session. We are going to be remote broadcasting here at the DA's office, down at the 2100 South DA's office, Utah County, and then down in St. George. We have done everything that we can. I keep telling Ron, don't sweat it, you know. And if you don't have control over it, don't worry about it. But of course, he's being diligent. We have tested it. Ron's been to Logan, actually, to test it from there.
Sort of like a presidential news conference.
Yeah. Yeah. So
maybe not so much now. There's a tweet, but
But we've got all the necessary cables, a post. We appreciate Chris Fielding. Couldn't be there to do it, so he's instructed Ron. But as far as we know, it will work.
And I just want to say thank you so much. And all kidding aside, that really, I think, is going to be really beneficial. I know that's a new layer of stress. But I think thank you for putting the time and energy in there to help facilitate that. Definitely for this for our office, it really helps us out tremendously. It's not that we didn't want to send as many people there, but as I was sharing, for us the difference is from $75 to almost $600 per person, and that's and for the number of people that we want to send, that was going to be really cost prohibitive for us. So I know it's been an extra chore. I'm sure it's going to go fine, but I just want to say personally, just thank you so much for just helping facilitate that.
Us too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mrs. Well, I don't know that you mentioned.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes, and it's also at the AG's office. Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Three Salt Lake County locations, Utah County, Washington County. Yeah. Sorry about that, Greg. Thank you. Okay.
Just a quick question on that. I sent a note out about just some small set of instructions to make sure we hook up correctly. I think I sent them to Rich. because I didn't know who else to send them to in your office.
Rich and Ryan.
If you make sure that just whoever's supposed to get that gets it, right? They know how to what to do.
Did we do it just a? Is it possible just to do testing and
I can't do anything up in Logan until 7 tomorrow morning. I was hoping I could get in tonight, but they said it's being used.
And maybe it might not be a bad idea to just maybe give a heads up when you do have.